Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, and this is a radio podcast for patriots behind enemy lines, which those lines are really interesting right now with everything that's going on. Well, welcome to the show. I wanted to share with you real quick how to listen. You can find the show notes and actually listen on direct on the website, radiofreeva.com. Radiofree VA, like Virginia's abbreviation, va.com. And then if you're a podcaster, you like to listen on the go or download it to your phone, Podbean. Just get the Podbean app. That's what I use for most of the stuff I listen to. But that's Podbean, and you can find that in any of the Google or Apple stores, and it's free. But those are really useful. And also, please share this podcast with others. If you're on social media and you find a show that you like, please share it with others. It really helps get the word out about the stuff that I'm doing here and tries to get that information out to other people within Virginia, and that's a good thing. I'd like to share with you some militia updates, but I don't really have any. I mean, the musters are pretty much stalled out and not happening at all. I can't remember the last time a muster was done. You know, with all this COVID-19 stuff, they're pretty much just on hold, and that's unfortunate. So I really think that the militias that have already formed are working, and it's a slower pace of getting things done because of the restrictions. And the restrictions are really a lot of people self-imposed. I'm doing things to keep myself away from other people and try and be more careful about washing my hands, which I already did a lot anyway. But I don't want my parents to get sick. I'm not so concerned about myself. I certainly don't want to get it. But so that really impacts the way things are moving and the way the speed at which we're doing training. Our militia is still doing training. We're still shooting. We're still building our comms plan. We're still building a pace plan. We're still moving forward and doing what we need to do. But it is a slower process. You know, people don't want to have face-to-face meetings. You want to try and do stuff online. Well, you know, these online platforms, they kind of suck. They just don't work the way they're supposed to. And it's not the same. So if you're an extrovert and you like to do face-to-face meetings and you're pretty good at running face-to-face meetings, which I think I am, you're probably going to have a hard time with that online stuff, which I have had a problem with. But what is tonight's episode going to cover? And I'm going to cover these executive orders, specifically number 53 that the governor just put out. I'm going to talk about the law. I'm going to talk about the Constitution and the unconstitutionality of some of this. And here we go.
Is it too much to ask that we fulfill these obligations of citizenship? If we think so, we should read again the history of the founding of this nation and consider the hardships of the people who made possible our freedom. They felt that no challenge was too great if freedom was at stake. That spirit carried them on. It created for us the foundation of our great heritage. We have seen it flare up and burn brightly in every national emergency, on the battlefields and at home. The socialists, the communists, and their followers would like to see the American spirit extinguished. If each of us will rise to the occasion, if every citizen, young and old, will accept the challenge of his citizenship, then the socialist and communist and their followers will not prevail, and America will go on toward the fulfillment of her great world destiny.
Dr. Clifton L. Gaines, Jr. was our instructor. This is a continuing series based on the unique political and economic system which has made America great.
So, Executive Order number 53, the royal decree of His Royalness, Governor Ralph Northam. This one's titled Temporary Restrictions on Restaurants, Recreational Entertainment, Gatherings, Non-Essential Retail Businesses, and Closure of K-12 Schools Due to Novel Coronavirus, COVID-19. It goes on at the beginning to talk about why this is so important, blah, blah, blah. We're going to close this thing, we're going to do that, and we're going to give this guidance from the Centers of Disease Control and things like that. But specifically, I wanted to key in on some things, specifically this directive, which is, therefore, by virtue of the authority vested in me by Article 5, Section 7 of the Constitution of Virginia, by 44-146.17 of the Code of Virginia, and the furtherance of Executive Order 51, I order the following. Executive Order 51 was the first one. This is just an expanded version of that. Let's see. Effective 11:59 p.m. Tuesday, March 24th until that same time, Thursday, April 23rd, all public and private in-person gatherings of 10 or more individuals are prohibited. Well, that's a complete violation of the First Amendment. I have the right to freely associate with whoever I want. I understand that this is a problem, but this is not Ebola. All right, we're not going to be bleeding out of our eyes if we get this thing. Or are we, and we being lied to? Number two, cessation of all in-person instruction at K-12 schools, public and private, for the remainder of 2019-2020 school year. Here's the thing. Here's the one that drives me nuts. Facilities providing childcare services may remain open. So the place where the kids lick doorknobs and windows and slobber all over the playground, and they interact with adults from all age, different age groups, and their parents, and they're spreading germs everywhere. Kids are dirty. I know, I have two of them. You know, they'll run around the play place with slobber and drool and gross stuff everywhere and bare feet, and you just want to scream, "What are you doing?" But that can stay open. Hey, we got to keep that open, right? here's what a lot of people understand. So this is a cessation of all in-person instruction at K-12 schools. So he closed the schools, but he didn't close the schools. The problem is that in rural counties, which is most of Virginia, let's say 60% or more, there's places you don't have internet. Not to the extent you would need it to actually do virtual education. You go out to parts of Bedford, you barely have cell phone internet. You might have cell phone, you could text and make phone calls, but your internet's a joke. The system has never been built out the way they would pretend that it has been built out. And we do not have the internet that countries like South Korea and Singapore and others have. We just don't. And that's because we have a lot of rural areas here. So to do schooling online, you have to have internet. And all the libraries are closed. What are you going to go park out in the parking lot of the library and have all your kids work out of the minivan? As summer approaches, as the warmer time of year approaches, no thanks. We're fortunate in our house. We do. My kids are in private school, and they're moving forward with online education. But there are schools, Bedford County schools, Lynchburg City schools. They're not doing school. They're just done. And I think those kids, and it's really unfortunate for them. No sports, no prom. I mean, there's schools that have just out and right canceled graduation. And not that you didn't graduate, they're just going to rubber stamp you. But it's unfortunate because this is the time of year with sports that young people who wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity are getting the opportunity to get a scholarship. There's academic scholarships that people aren't going to be able to get. Lots of things are happening that is very unfortunate for these young people. This is the beginning of a very exciting time where you get to leave the nest and go off into the world and do cool stuff. And well, but you don't. So that's sad. Glad my kids are still young enough where they still have several years to go before they're out of school so that they can, hopefully some of this will normalize and work itself out. Closure of all dining and congregation areas and restaurants, dining establishment, food courts, breweries, microbreweries, distilleries, wineries, tasting rooms, and farmers markets. And it gives the effective dates, which is pretty much the same as I listed above. And it says if you offer takeout services, you can keep doing that or delivery. Well, I'm pretty sure you can't do delivery of beer, wine, and distillery items. I don't know if they've relaxed that. Closure of all public access to recreational entertainment businesses, theaters, performing arts centers, concert venues, museums, and other indoor entertainment centers. fitness centers, gymnasiums, recreation centers, indoor sports facilities, and indoor exercise facilities. And there's a long list of here, barbershops, beauty salons, blah, 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 racetracks, and historic racing facilities. I didn't even know we had those, but okay. I guess that's a Northern Virginia thing. Bowling alleys, skating rinks, arcades, amusement parks, trampoline parks, fairs, arts. I mean, they left nothing out here. Aquariums, zoos, escape rooms, indoor shooting ranges, public and private social clubs, and other places of indoor public amusement. I wonder how the indoor shooting range one conflicts with President Trump's declaration that these are essential services. So interesting. Well, and we have a list of essential retail businesses that may remain open during normal business hours, grocery stores, pharmacies, things like that. There's quite a long list, and I just thought the funny one was beer, wine, and liquor stores. Church is not an essential service. School is not an essential service, but getting loaded is an essential service. I mean, I guess the thinking here is that you don't want these people who probably have substance abuse problems to not get their fix, or they might become a problem, and then we'd have a whole separate problem. So I guess that's the thinking there. I don't know. And keep the opiate of the masses, keep them happy and contented and loaded, and then we won't have any big outburst problems, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure that I can guarantee you that there's a whole psychology and a political sociological decision tree that involves things like this beer, wine, and liquor stores as being an essential thing. I just think that it's laughable that it's considered essential. It's an essential thing for you to get alcohol. How is that essential? I don't have a problem with these staying open, but I just don't understand how that's an essential thing. And there's more effectives. If you have a brick and mortar store, you may continue to operate, but you must limit all in-person shopping to no more than 10 patrons per establishment. And it's just no way to really do that. No more than 10. Here's the problem I have with this one. It says, or it must close. You ever go into Kohl's? Sometimes I'll go into Kohl's. And there might be 20, 30 people, including employees, maybe 50 people in the whole place. And I don't remember hardly ever, bumping into another person when I'm in there. The place is massive. So this idiotic arbitrary number, this is just like the 10 rounds in a magazine. 10. 10 is our magic number. 11, everyone's going to die from the plague. But 10, we're okay with 10. Yeah, we'll be fine. It's just this weird arbitrary thing that they've just said, oh, 10 is the magic number. But if you go in a subway, there's no limit to have 10 people in the subway in New York City. And that's why New York's explosion of an outbreak that's happening there. And then we're not doing anything to prevent those people in the state of New York who don't have their act together. And everyone's raving about this, the governor and the mayor. Oh, they're doing such a great job. By what metric? By what metric are they doing a great job? They're doing a terrible job. What are you talking about? Doing a great job. I guess if it's, if it's the metric of, well, he's not Donald Trump, so we can, gin him up and make him sound great. Yeah. So it goes on. Violations of paragraph 1, 3, 4, and 6 of this order shall be a class 1 misdemeanor pursuant to 44-146.17 of the Code of Virginia. So let's look back. 1, 3, 4, and 6. 6 is the small businesses that I just mentioned. 4 is all the public entertainment places. 3 is dining establishments. And 1, interesting. What says? 1, 3, 4, and 6, but nothing mentioned here about number 2. So apparently if you violate the number 2 where you just say, you know what, we're a private school, we're going to stay open. Forget you, governor. Apparently that's okay. You're not going to be guilty of a class 1 misdemeanor. That's interesting. But all public and private gatherings of 10 or more. Okay, so that is where people are talking about. It is the number 10. That's the magic number 10. So I'm going to talk about a couple different things here. So first off, Article 5, Section 7. There's nothing in here that relates to an emergency, executive order, pandemic, anything such as that. It just says the governor shall take care that the laws are faithfully executed. That's it. I read this thing three times, four times. I couldn't see anything in here that talked about where he'd have the authority to do some of the things he's doing. Now, we go over to Section 44-146.17, the powers and duties of the governor. And it says, and it's quite long actually, but I've keyed in some things. Executive orders, to include those declaring a state of emergency and directing evacuation, shall have the force and effect of law, and the violation therefore shall be punishable as a Class 1 misdemeanor in every case where the executive order declares that its violation shall have such force and effect. Okay, now we continue on. The next paragraph says, such executive orders declaring a state of emergency may address exceptional circumstances that exist relating to an order of quarantine or an order of isolation concerning a communicable disease of public health threat that is issued by the state health commissioner for an affected area of the Commonwealth pursuant to, and it lists more sections of the law. And then further down it says, to make such studies, actually I'll come back to this. So essentially where the governor is claiming he has the authority, and according to the law he does, under 44-146.17. Now, I can't stand the guy. I think he's an awful human being, let alone an awful governor. But he does have the authority under this section to do these things. Now, does he have the authority under the Constitution to prohibit me from associating with other people? No, he doesn't. Does he have the authority to declare, say, if I get together with 20 people from my militia and I train? Well, I would consider us a essential service to our community. So it really comes down to this. You have to decide what's that hill you're willing to die on. You know, some fights are worth fighting and some aren't. So you just have to think about that. Which one is the one that you're going to push back and say, no more, I'm not doing this anymore. And you also have to look at this from the standpoint of this virus. It is a real thing. Now, we don't know what kind of a real thing because everybody's lying to us. I've mentioned this in the last podcast. The media is lying to us. Everybody is lying to us. The doctors have no clue what this thing is. That it starts because all you have is data. And if your data is flawed, it's garbage in, garbage out. You can't make rational and good decisions based on bad data. And that's all we have is bad data. Because it started in China, thanks China, just like the swine flu and SARS and probably 10 other things have come out of that stupid place because they eat bats and octopus intestines and who knows whatever else they eat over there. But let me segue a little bit. I saw this great meme. These two Chinese guys and then aliens come, you know, the grays, you know, and they say, I don't believe in aliens, but anyway, it said, we come in peace. And the two guys look and it says, the little speech bubble says, I wonder what they taste like. But, you know, it's just a cultural thing there. They eat everything. They really do. They'll eat anything. And so some of the things that they eat bring, have viruses, and those viruses get into people. Now, I personally wholeheartedly believe that this was an engineered thing and it got out of its cage and it was engineered there in China and they let it out. But back to the fact that we have garbage data. This thing is either the flu or it's like Ebola. And we just don't know. And because we don't know, you have some places treating it like the flu and some places treating it like Ebola. And you have this whole spectrum of people not knowing how to treat it. And so, and I mean, I don't mean treat the disease. I'm talking about how to act around it. And so you have all kinds of goofy stuff. I went down to the hospital today for an emergency service call, which ended up not being that big of an emergency. It was for a door that needed fixing. And with two doors right next to that door that people could get in. So in any case, I walk in the main entrance. Now I have a badge. I can get in anywhere except pharmacies in any facility in the hospital system. because of the work I do there. And I walked in, no problem. I was wearing gloves, but the ladies, the nurses, and the checkout people weren't wearing gloves or masks. And almost nobody in the whole facility was wearing gloves or masks. It was shocking to me. And so, well, which is it? I guess this thing is only like the flu, right? Well, I don't know, because apparently 1,000 people in the United States have died from this thing already. And we have the highest number of confirmed cases now of this thing. So I don't know what to think about it. You don't know what to think about it. What do we do? And so we have to just go on this. Well, they have these executive orders. Well, so make a decision. Am I going to church? No, I'm not. My church has always had, we have our own radio station. We have online streaming and stuff. So we can do that. But I'll tell you, it's not the same. I would much rather go to church. But they have chosen to, do all this, use all the technology that we have and that we've always had to continue preaching and teaching. So that's what we're doing. And it's not the same. And I think that people are only going to take so much of this before we start going, you know what? You guys are a bunch of knuckleheads. You don't know what's going on. I'll take my chances. But we're not there yet. Okay, so here's the thing that I wanted to key in on, because this is a power and duty of the governor. He's supposed to have done this, supposed to do this, to make such studies and surveys of industries, resources, and facilities in the Commonwealth as may be necessary to ascertain the capabilities of the Commonwealth and to plan for the most efficient emergency use thereof. Our governor, this governor, and the last several governors failed. Because since 9/11, the concept and the topic of a pandemic have been around. And there should have been a stockpile of masks and rubber gloves and these things, and they should have rotated this stuff into supply. This should have been a regular thing that was happening, and it wasn't. So they failed. So where do we go from here? Can we make masks? Well, that's what I don't know. We've been trying to figure this out because I belong to a local maker space. We make things. It's like a gym with tools where we have 3D printers and sewing and laser cutters and everything. So can we make masks? Can we help anybody? Nobody's telling us. We've been trying to figure this out. Nobody will answer us. Nobody will respond. We have the capability all throughout Virginia and all throughout the United States of America. We're the greatest country in the world. We have the ability to solve these problems, and they're not doing anything. Everything is just this giant supply chain solution. We could DIY some of these problems. And yeah, the masks that we could make would not be good for surgery, but they might be good for that person that was standing at the front entrance today who didn't have one. There's solutions out there that we could do. I mean, we can build we'll clean room the thing. What do we have to do? Tell me what I have to do to help. But we're not being told. We're going to figure this out on ourselves, because I can tell you, this stupid governor and this dumb government that we have from top to bottom doesn't have a clue about what's going on. Everyone's just throwing darts at a dartboard. They're clueless. What should be happening right now? Tax cuts. Complete. Across the board. All the taxes suspended for the rest of the year. You want to talk about shutting things down? You shut the economy down. It's shut down. It's done. It's shut down. So what's the solution? Oh, well, let's just spend trillions of dollars and give people checks. No, what I want is no more gas taxes, no more sales tax, no more income tax, no taxes for the rest of the year, for the rest of 2020. But you're not hearing about anything. There's not a Republican or Democrat anywhere, and I'm talking Virginia, anywhere, that is proposing this and coming forward and saying, you are failing the citizens of this Commonwealth, Governor. Nothing. So what's the economic solution? Well, the economic solution is apparently just a file for unemployment. I don't know. And I might be doing that next week. Don't know. Got to go talk to the boss on Monday. Didn't work. I worked 3 hours this week. I worked that emergency service call today. Was an extra 6 hours. I worked 9 hours for the entire week. That's it. Now, I got a lot done. Don't get me wrong. I've been plenty busy. I didn't do a podcast last week because I was doing a communications webinar for the militia, trying to get people up to speed. So I'm going to talk and kind of segue out of this and talk about what you should be doing. You should be getting your comms up. You should be writing your signals operating instructions. You should be writing your PACE plan. You should be writing your PACE plan, your primary, alternate, contingency, emergency plan for everything. And you need to get this stuff done now while we have internet and while we can plan and where we can freely have, you know, annoying web-based conference calls and solve these problems. There's problems that can be solved. Had a lot of fun the other day. Got to build a new gun. I've wanted to build an AR pistol for a long time and just never have. Finally ordered the parts for that. And my 13-year-old and I put the thing together. It's probably the fourth or fifth AR I've built in my lifetime. A lot of fun. Those are he had a good time. He's really hands-on, good with his hands, and likes to build things. So that was fun. Got a chance to go out with the neighboring militia to some property that we've built up and put a range on, helping them do rifle zeroing. Got to zero my rifle. Well, it's a pistol. And then I got to go, we'll be getting to do the same thing this weekend. So, will there probably be more than 10 of us there? Yep. So, let's see. Ammo is still in short supply. If you can find it, get it. But that ship has probably sailed. You might want to think about reloading supplies. They're still around because people, it's like the radios. You know, get your comms up. Go buy a UV-5R right now. Or five of them. Just go do that. But right now shipping is still happening, although it is strained and slower. It is still happening. Don't bother shipping or ordering from Amazon. Just get it off of eBay from somebody. Preferably not New York, California, or any of the other pandemic-infected states. You might want to think about the reloading supplies because they are available still, although not as plentiful as they used to be, but they're still available. And if you've got yourself a reloading press, you know, you start polishing that brass and prepping it and getting it ready. You may need it sooner rather than later, but hopefully you just need it for training. And that's what I'm gearing things up for. I'm fortunate. I have a really nice Super 1050 and with the Mark 7 auto drive. And so time to fire up the press. Well, that's it for today's show. Everybody stay safe. Keep your head on a swivel. Get your comms up. Get that stuff taken care of. Now's the time. You have time. Don't tell me you don't have time, especially if you're one of those people like me who's on a considerably reduced schedule. You have the time to do it. And so there's no excuse when the power shuts off or whatever comes and you're like, oh gosh, we got to scramble. What do we do? Well, that's the stuff you should have been doing right now. So take the opportunity to do it. Start reading, start learning, go to Forward Observer, do an area study. I mean, there's lots of things you could be doing, and those are the things you should be doing. This is Hank Reardon. Thank you for listening to Radio Free Virginia.